morning I wanted to start off on a more positive note. I want to personally thank Brother David for his encouragement. Yesterday he was out in 100 degree weather trying to persuade people to come and worship the Lord the way they ought to be. And it's really encouraging that he is doing that and putting forth the effort on a personal note. And we should all use him as an example and try to spread the gospel. Thank him for that and his teaching the classes and his preaching as well. And song leading, you just about do it all, don't you? But David's very encouraging to me, and I'm sure he is to all of us as well. Now on a not so good note, we're going to talk about seven facts about hell this morning. Hell is often considered an unpopular subject for lots of reasons, and we're going to look at some of those this morning. Some believe that it's a bad word, and it depends on how you use it. I hope that at the end of this lesson you will think of it more as a place you don't want to go than a bad word. With the moral decline in this country and around the world, it's sad but true that millions of souls are going to be lost there. We'll look now at seven facts about hell. First, it's a real place. The Bible teaches us about heaven, and it also teaches us about hell. If the Bible says it's a real place, then that settles it. Let's look at John 17 and verse 17. John chapter 17 and verse 17. Jesus praying here to the Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Titus 1 and verse 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Since God's word is truth, and God cannot lie, and the fact that Jesus warns his disciples of this place, is there any doubt that there is such a place? Second, it's a horrible place. The word fire is used most to describe this place. Let's look at Matthew 25 and verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Mark 9 and verse 43. Mark chapter 9 and verse 43. And if your hand makes you sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire which shall never be quenched. And if you read on down through there, Christ tells us it's the fire that will not, that cannot be quenched four or five more times in the next few passages there. Revelation 20 and verse 15. Revelation 20 and verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's turn back to Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let's also look at Matthew 13 and verse 42. Matthew chapter 13, we'll read 41 and 42. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now by now we ought to have a picture in our mind that this is some place we don't want to go. It's a horrible place. Number three, it's a place anyone can go. There are many places we can't go. Example, you cannot go into the Mormon temple if you're not a Mormon. But anyone can go to this place called hell. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Many people read this verse and will tell you that since God is the God of love, He would not send you to hell. However, God is also the God of wrath. Look at what Paul taught us in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, excuse me, starting at verse 20. Romans 11 and verse 20. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He may not spare you either. Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity. But toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you will be cut off. Look also at what Paul taught us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 9. And to you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. All the disobedient will go there. Fourth, it is a place that is eternal. This place has no end. It is difficult for us to fathom eternity. Why? To everything in this life, there is an end. Just as heaven is never ending, hell is never ending. Let's look at Mark 3 and verse 29. Mark chapter 3 and verse 29. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Jude verse 3. Excuse me, verse 7. Jude verse 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and have gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Fifth, it is a place of no escape. In this life, prisoners can escape from prison to the outside world. In hell, there is no place to escape. The world and the works therein will be gone. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slacklessness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. There will be no way to cross the great gulf that is fixed. Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, starting at verse 19. I was just going to read one verse, but it's since we're here, we're going to read the whole parable. It's the rich man and Lazarus. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died, and he was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he comforted you. Now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send me to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, nor will they be persuaded through one raised from the dead. And let's not forget the words of Paul in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. Let's look at that one more time. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Sixth, it is a house of a large group of people, even angels. The immoral will be there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Do you not know that the righteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, unless I pronounce that wrong, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfishness, ambitions, dissensions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's look at Revelation 21 and verse 8. Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Children of God, or brethren who become again entangled in the and the pollutions of the world, will be there. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. For if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to have known the way of righteousness than having known it and turned away from the holy commandment delivered to them. Let's also look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 23. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy? Well, let me try this again. Verse 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The devil and his angels and all sinners will be there. Matthew 25 and verse 41 again. Matthew 25 and verse 41, then he will say to those on his left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Will you or I be there? We make the choice whether to be with God or Satan. And seventh, it's a place that can be avoided. God is rich in mercy and grace in that he sent his Son to die for those who are lost. We have all sinned. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Therefore, all men must believe and obey the saving gospel of Christ to avoid this place. Romans 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Acts 10 and verse 35. Acts 10 and verse 35, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The Hebrew writer expressed it well when he wrote in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. We are so blessed in this nation to be able to meet here this morning, to study our Bibles and to learn what we have to do to stay out of hell and what we do to find our home in heaven. We're blessed to be able to sing and pray and partake of the Lord's Supper without fear of someone coming in and killing us for our beliefs. We should give thanks for that freedom, because we're not guaranteed that this freedom that we have now will remain. You see all across the world, in places like Jerusalem and Iraq and places where we're fighting, young children strapping bombs to themselves and blowing people up just because we don't believe what they believe in. And that could happen here, in our malls, on our streets, in our subways. And we have to be prepared for Judgment Day, for when we die, whichever comes first. I want to remind you what King Agrippa said in Acts. Actually, let's look at what Felix said first. Acts 24 and verse 25. Acts 24 and verse 25, Felix says, now he has reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you. There is no better time than right now, because we're not guaranteed to pull out of this parking lot and not get run over and die today. We read in the paper all the time. Just recently, a boy at Disney World died on a roller coaster. He had a heart problem that I believe that's what it was that his family didn't know about. Don't know that the roller coaster was the cause of it. You hear all the time of young people in college playing sports have heart attacks on the field. We're not guaranteed another second here, and Christ could come at any time. God could end all of this any time, and we need to be prepared. And then I want to remind you what King Agrippa said in Acts 26 and verse 27. Acts 26 and verse 27. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then King Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Don't be almost persuaded. If you're here this morning, obey the will of God if you haven't. God commands us to hear, to believe, to repent, to confess, and to be baptized, immersed in water. It's not the water that saves us from our sins, it's the obedience to God's will. Let's look at the Ethiopian eunuch, who's a prime example. And I had it in my mind, and I forgot where it's at. Eight, I was getting close. Okay. Sorry, I didn't write it down. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Actually, let's go over to verse 28. Darius returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet, the Ethiopian eunuch was. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. "Do you understand what things you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scriptures where he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before his shearer, so he opened his mouth, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, to whom does this prophet say this? To himself or of some other man?" And Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at that scripture, preached Jesus to him. So the Ethiopian eunuch was hearing the word of God. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" By necessary inference, we can see that the Ethiopian eunuch has repented and wants to turn away from the life that he's in and wants to be baptized and serve the Lord. Verse 37, "Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered, 'I believe,'" belief, "'that Jesus Christ is the Son of God,'" confession. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him." Again this morning, don't go away the way Felix or Agrippa did. Don't say, "I'll do it later." Don't say, "I was almost persuaded." If you haven't obeyed the gospel this morning, come forward as we stand and sing the song selected.